Imagine you're a cardiologist seeing a new patient who's just been diagnosed with atrial fibrillation. You know they're at risk for stroke, but the question is, how much risk? And should you start them on anticoagulation therapy right away? For decades, we've relied on the same scoring system to answer that question. But what if there's a better way? One that's actually backed by machine learning models that significantly outperform that classic score? Well, there is, and researchers just published some really compelling evidence in NPJ Digital Medicine. Today, we're breaking down how artificial intelligence might be about to transform stroke prevention in AF patients. Let's start with the elephant in the room, the CHA-2DS2VASC score. If you've worked in cardiology or primary care, you know this score intimately. It factors in age, heart failure, hypertension, diabetes, stroke history, vascular disease, and female sex. And honestly, it's been the gold standard for decades. But here's the thing. The score was developed in a different era of medicine, and it wasn't designed with modern machine learning techniques in mind. The authors of this study asked a pretty straightforward question. If we took the same basic clinical variables that feed into 2DS2VASC, age, comorbidities, and medications, and trained a machine learning model on them, could we do better? They developed two types of models, a logistic regression model and an extreme gradient boosting model, or XGB. And I want to emphasize this point. Both models are considered interpretable, which means you can actually understand why they're making their predictions. This is crucial in clinical medicine. We can't just hand doctors a black box and say, trust it. These models had to prove they were explainable as well as accurate. The researchers tested their approach on a cohort of newly diagnosed atrial fibrillation patients and then validated it on an external data set. The results were striking. On the internal validation, both the logistic regression and XGB models achieved AUCs of 0, 915, and 0, 914, respectively, compared to just 0, 614 to 0, 621 for CHA-2DS2VASC. And here's the key. Those improvements held up on external validation too. The ML models hit AUCs of 0, 877 to 0, 886, while 2DS2VASC stayed flat at 0. 614 to 0, 621. We're talking about a statistically significant improvement across the board. But numbers on a page don't always translate to clinical benefit. So the researchers looked at calibration. Basically, do the predicted probabilities match reality? Both ML models showed strong calibration with Breyer scores between 0, 0, 5, 4, and 0, 0, 6, 5. That's excellent. Then they did something really practical. They looked at what happens if you use a risk threshold of 0. 2, to identify high-risk patients. At that threshold, the ML models identified over 100 additional high-risk patients per 1,000 compared to CHA-2DS2VASC, and this is important, without increasing false positives. So you're catching more people who actually need anticoagulation without unnecessarily treating more people. Now here's where it gets even more interesting. The researchers followed patients long-term, 3 to 5 years out. In that follow-up period, patients the logistic regression model identified as high risk showed significantly lower stroke incidence when they used DOACs. In contrast, CHA-2DS2VASC showed what the authors call paradoxical associations. Basically, it wasn't predicting long-term outcomes well. That's a red flag for a clinical prediction tool. You want your model to work not just in the short term, but to actually be predictive of what's going to happen down the road. So what does all this mean? Well, on a practical level, this is about getting personalized risk estimation right. Atrial fibrillation patients exist on a spectrum of stroke risk. Some are genuinely high risk and absolutely need anticoagulation. Others are lower risk, and the decision is more nuanced, weighing bleeding risk against stroke risk. The CHA 2DS2 VASC score has been criticized for being too simplistic and too conservative. It doesn't differentiate well between patients in that middle risk zone, which is where most newly diagnosed AF patients actually fall. These ML models give you much finer granularity. The other thing worth highlighting is the equity analysis. The researchers did sex stratified analyses and found no significant performance differences between men and women. That's important because we've seen plenty of clinical tools that perform differently across demographic groups. This one holds up. There's also the practical implementation angle. The authors developed a web-based tool, which means this isn't theoretical. It's deployable in actual hospitals right now. You could integrate this into an electronic health record, and clinicians could get a personalized risk estimate for every new AF patient with just a few clicks. The bottom line, this research demonstrates that interpretable machine learning models can substantially improve upon a scoring system that's been in use for 2 decades. That's not a small thing. In stroke prevention, getting the risk stratification right directly impacts how we use anticoagulation, which is one of the most important treatments we have in cardiology. If these models can help us identify truly high-risk patients more accurately and guide more individualized DOAC initiation, that's a win for patients. The paper is out now in NPJ Digital Medicine, and it's absolutely worth reading if you manage atrial fibrillation patients. The research shows us that sometimes newer approaches really are better, as long as they're rigorously validated and clinically interpretable.